wonderful Holy Spirit, we welcome your awesome presence in revealing your word to our hearts for this hour. And Father, I thank you for anointing your people in receiving your anointed word in Jesus' name. To the book of Numbers, chapter 23, verses 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Had he said, and shall he not do it? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? We want to use for a thought, if God said it, he will do it, but we must hold him to it. If God said it, he will do it, but we must hold him to it. We are living in a time where God is doing great things. And in the midst of what's happening in our world that may be negative, sad, depressing, dark, positive things are still taking place. Because God is still God and will continue to be God no matter what. What I've come to learn about God is that God means what he says, and he says what he means. And whenever he tells me something, he only wants me to hold him to it, not try to figure out how he's going to give me what he told me, or even try to help him to do what he said, or even try to make happen what he said. Hold him to it. There are things that God has said to each one of us as saints of God. And oftentimes, I find that we don't always get what God said, not because God has gone back on what he said, but because we don't, number one, believe what he said. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Number two, we don't get from God because we don't wait on him. Sometimes we get impatient, sometimes we get in a hurry and try to go ahead of God in trying to help him to do what he told us he's going to do. Number three, sometimes we don't stay close to him. We put a distance or we allow walls to come between us and our prayer lives. We allow walls to come up between our devotional time with him. And you see, in the process of you waiting on God, God is watching what you're doing while you're waiting for what he said to happen in your life. Number four, we must maintain our ways before him. Sometimes we don't get what God promised because we start living raggedy like a can of sauerkraut, and we become crooked as a barrel of fish hooks. We must stay straight. We must live right in spite of how long it might be taking for what God promised us coming to pass. Number five, we must give him our first fruits. Sometimes we don't get what God said because we rob him of what belongs to him. What did God tell the prophet Malachi? Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And you keep reading, saying, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. So you see, when you begin to rob God, you put yourself under a curse. And catch something, God does not bless what's cursed. See, and when you don't give him your first fruits, that can cause what God said to you not to happen. Number six, we don't stay faithful to him. We become haphazard. We become cold and hot. We become up. We become down. But God wants us to become stable, become firm and fixed. As David said, my heart is fixed, O God. I will praise you. So you must stay faithful to him while you're waiting on what he promised you coming to pass. Number 7. We sometimes don't get what God said because we don't take him at what he said. We sometimes allow what we see, what others say to us, cause our faith in what God said to diminish. I thought about Abraham, how the Bible say, who against hope, believe in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham's hope was in what God said. Sometimes your hope basically is in what God said. Not what you see, not what you feel, not what you think, not what you even heard other folks say. Your sometime hope is in based on what God said. And the Bible says, who against hope, believe in hope. And sometimes you don't see your way out of nothing. You don't see how God is going to do what he said. But your hope must lie in what he told you. Period. And number 8, we must know his timing for us. We sometimes don't get what God say because we thinking because God says something to us today is going to happen tomorrow. Let me kind of share something with you here. It's been over 20 something years ago when God told me certain things was going to happen for me. Now, the moment I heard that word, I tried to help God in doing what I was just told. But you know, as I came to learn, then shall you know if you follow on to know the Lord. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. God has a perfect timing set to give to you what he promised to you. See, God had what you call a set time. He had an appointed time, and then you have a fullness of time. Guess that. He have a set time, an appointed time, and then when the fullness of time. What did Paul tell the saints at Galatia? But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. What's my point? When God promised to do something for you, God has a time set in which to bring to pass what he just told you. And catch this here. Are you ready for this one? Whenever God promises you something, there are problems that precede the promises. That's another message here. If you will notice in our text, God had put a word in the mouth of Balaam for Balak. And it was to let him know a little about the character of God. And he tells him, number one, God is not a man that he should lie. All of us have met people in life who have lied to us. Folk can look at you, straighten your eyeballs, and be telling you all color lies. It could be a white lie. It could be blue. It could be green. It could be red. It could be lies look like the rainbow. Folk just lie, whatever. But the point that I want you to get here, God is not a man that he should lie. God don't have time to be telling you and I things just to get us hyped up. And that's something I've learned. Whenever God tells you something, God means what he said. He's serious about what he told you. But the thing is, you have to understand you're not dealing with the man. When God speaks something into your spirit, when God speaks something into your heart, when he impresses something on you, and catch something, God has different ways of talking to you. So don't get stuck on one way God may talk to you. God may talk to you through his word. God may talk to you through a dream. God may talk to you through something you see in the natural aspect. When God told Jeremiah to go to the potter's house, God was talking through what Jeremiah was seeing. And sometimes you may be seeing things every single day. God is talking, but the thing is, you might not be perceiving what he's trying to tell you. And then number 2, God is not the son of no man that he should repent. See, when God says something to you, God ain't got to come back and say, "Oop, my bad. No, I'm sorry. I made a mistake." No, when God says something to you, God meant just what he told you. Catch this. And since God is not a man or the son of man, he have no reason to lie or to change his mind about what he said. Because he is perfect in all his ways. And in Psalm 33 verse 9, for he spake and it was done. He commanded it, and it stood fast. Psalm 89, verse 34. Listen to what God said. My covenant would I not break, nor alter the thing, the word, that has gone out of my lips. Psalm 119, verse 140. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loves it. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in him. Isaiah 55, 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Jeremiah 1, verse 12. Then saith the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. In other words, God telling Jeremiah, I watch over what I say to do it. And I thought about this. If God is watching over his word to perform it, who is God performing this word for? Those who hear what he's saying, those who believe what he's saying, and those who will act upon what they know God said to them. See, God constantly watches over his word to do it for those who were taken at his word. Jeremiah 33 and 14. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I promised unto the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In Ezekiel 12:25. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. Ezekiel 12:28. There shall none of my words be prolonged anymore, but the word which I've spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. This was a word just for somebody in particular. You needed to hear Ezekiel 12:28. There shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. Sometimes God will say something to you and you're wondering, Lord, when? Lord, when are you going to do what you say? God is saying to say to you, none of my words shall be prolonged anymore, but the word which I've spoken shall be done. Get ready for it, said the Lord. So if God told you he was going to save your husband, hold him to it. If God told you he was going to heal your body, hold him to it. If God told you he was going to promote you, hold him to it. If God told you he was going to raise you up, hold him to it. If God told you he was going to use you, hold him to it. And let me pause with this one right here. Many of you feel the call of God upon your life. You feel the hand of God upon your life. And you're wondering, Lord, when are you going to use me? God has to develop your life more than it is right now. God has to season you more. He has to season your mind, your spirit. He has to mature your character. Listen, God defines and refines your character more than anything else. Your gift is wonderful, but it's your character. And the Bible says a man's gift, make it room for him and bring it in before great men. But catch something here. The gift may bring you before great men, but your character will keep you there. If you have no character, you can get before folk and lose that. See, God don't just want to open doors for you to get in places. God want to take the door off the hinge where you have opportunity to go whenever because of your character, not so much how much you know for the Bible, and that has something to do with it. So the gift is one thing, but it's your character. And God using you comes in time. Just be patient. Just stay before God. Just stay in the Word. Just stay faithful. Just stay committed. Just stay separated from the world. And before you know it, God will begin to use you to do things that you've never been used to do before. If God told you he was going to bless you with the home, hold him to it. If God told you he was going to send you a mate, hold him to it. Women, don't get in a hurry and grab anything you see with pants. I got to touch on this. You see, because you have a lot of guys wearing pants, but they're homosexuals. You have these folk, what you call, they got like double standard lives. Yeah, they look like a man, but at night they become a woman. And women, don't get in a hurry. Just wait on God. Just maintain your ways. Also, the Bible says, he that findeth a wife find a good thing. Not she who go looking and strutting her stuff. Let me leave that one alone. If God told you he was going to deliver your family, hold him to it. If God told you he was going to open doors, hold him to it. If God told you he's going to bless you with a car, hold him to it. If God told you he was going to fight that battle, hold him to it. See, sometimes we can get in God's way of God dealing with certain matters that we may be confronted with. See, you can't, listen to me, you can't get before God and ask God to deal with something and then you turn around and try to deal with it yourself. You in God's way. What did God say? The battle is not yours, but God's. See, the battle is not yours, and since it's not yours, it belongs to God. Let God fight the battle his way. Don't try to tell God how to fight for you. Remember, God is not a man. We may tell people how to do things for us. When you get this, Lord, I just thank you for what you have done. I thank you for fighting the battle and leave it at that. Don't tell, Lord, you need to do this to him. No, you need to do it. And that's the problem. That's why many times we don't get victory and answers because we're trying to tell God how to do stuff. Remember, you're not dealing with a man. You're dealing with our Creator. If God told you he was going to bless you to travel, hold him to it. If God told you he was going to give you a particular prayer, he was going to answer a particular prayer, hold him to it. If God told you he was going to show you what he wants you to do, hold him to it. And I feel this one right here. Many of you have been seeking to find out, Lord, what is your will for my life? God said, just hold me to it. Just stay in prayer. Consecrate your life. Separate yourself. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. I thought about when God called Abram in Genesis chapter 12. Abram decides to take Lot with him. But catch this, please. Abram and Lot is traveling while going on this journey. Abram's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen begin to strife and to fight and to bicker and to all kind of stuff start popping up. And Abram said, you know what? You know, we're brethren, number one. At least there be no quarrels against us. We need to separate. You need to go to the left. I'm going to go to the right. So Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. And the Bible says the moment Lot separated from Abram, God spoke. What am I saying to you that's listening to me? If God is going to show you what he wants you to do, sometimes you could be around the wrong people that's hindering you from hearing from God. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. Sometimes you got to check your company out. You could be around folk that don't like you, that's jealous of you. Look at Joseph. He made the mistake of telling the dream to the wrong folk. And I said this once before. You got to be careful who you tell what to. Samson told Delilah something he shouldn't have told nobody. And because he told her about his strength, look what she did. She gave him a haircut. She just took the clippers and chop, chop, chop and messed him up. What's my point here? Glory to God. I feel like preaching. But let me settle myself down. If God told you he was going to show you what he wants you to do, you got to sometime check your company to make sure you're not around folk, watch this, that's vision killers. People that don't want to see things come to pass in your life. And you can have a lot of folk prophesying over you rather than prophesying. You got to be careful who you receive certain things from. You got to know the spirit of those who come to you. Because sometimes people can come with a deceptive spirit or with a lying spirit, trying to get you all excited about nothing. Glory to God. But you got to know what God said to you. He's going to do it. If God told you he's going to set you free from bondage, hold him to it. If God told you he's going to visit you, hold him to it. If God told you he's going to bring you out of what you're in right now, God wants you to hold him to it. If God said it, he would do it. But we must hold him to it. I thought about something that God told the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 23, listen to this, verse 28. The prophet that had a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that had my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? So as I come to a close, if God said it, he would do it. But you and I must hold him to what he said. You can take what God said and rest on it, knowing in time it will take place. Loving Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for inspiring and encouraging and motivating your people's faith to know, wonderful Father, that if you told them you're going to do something, you're going to do just what you said. And God, I pray for my brother and my sister that may be listening to this message. They may be discouraged. They may be downhearted. They may be wondering, Lord, when are you going to do what you said? God, thank you for encouraging them and strengthening them. Encourage their hearts. Encourage their minds and their spirit. And Father, in Jesus' name, according to your word in Genesis 21, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. I thank you for doing for my brother and my sister what you said, and doing for them what you spoke. God, thank you for preparing them even now for the promise coming to pass. And God, I give you glory, praise, and honor for it now, in Jesus' name. If God said it, he would do it. But we must hold him to it.